Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, One Nation Under God, How Corporate America Invented Christian America by historian Kevin M. Cruz, examines how modern public religiosity in the United States was shaped during the 20th century. Rather than treating the rise of a Christian America as an ancient, uninterrupted tradition, Cruz traces the political and economic incentives that encouraged business leaders to promote faith language as a civic ideal. The book centers on the mid-century era, when debates over the New Deal, labor power, and the role of government created an opening for corporate advocates to redefine free enterprise as a moral and spiritual cause. Through public campaigns, alliances with prominent clergy, and the use of civic rituals and patriotic messaging, a new narrative took hold that fused capitalism, American identity, and Christianity. Cruz also connects these efforts to lasting symbols and practices, showing how religious references became embedded in public life and political rhetoric. The result is a reframing of familiar Cold War-era culture wars through the lens of power, persuasion, and nation-building. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, corporate anti-New Deal. Politics recast as moral crusade, a central topic is how major business interests responded to the New Deal and the growth of federal regulation by reframing economic arguments as spiritual ones. Cruz shows that corporate leaders did not rely solely on technical claims about taxes or efficiency. They built a moral narrative that portrayed free enterprise as aligned with religious virtue, personal responsibility, and traditional social order. This strategy helped shift public debate away from class conflict and toward values language, making opposition to labor unions and social welfare programs sound like a defense of faith and family rather than a defense of profits. The book highlights how religious themes could soften the image of corporate power, presenting business leaders as guardians of freedom rather than beneficiaries of freedom rather than beneficiaries of the status quo. This topic matters because it explains how political language evolves. When one set of arguments loses broad appeal, advocates may adopt a different vocabulary that resonates more deeply. In Cruz's account, religion became that vocabulary, offering a powerful way to legitimize a particular vision of the economy and to label alternatives as un-American, collectivist, or even spiritually suspect. Secondly, the clergy and business alliance that popularized free enterprise faith. Another key topic is the deliberate alliance between influential clergy and corporate America to spread a religiously charged message about capitalism. Cruz emphasizes that this was not simply grassroots piety spilling into politics. It involved organized networks, sponsorship, and publicity efforts designed to reach mass audiences. Clergy who supported the cause could deliver sermons, radio messages, and public appearances that linked Christian belief to individualism and market freedom. Meanwhile, business organizations could supply funding, media access, and professional marketing that many religious groups lacked. This partnership helped present economic ideology as spiritual teaching, giving it an aura of moral authority that ordinary lobbying could not achieve. The topic also illuminates tensions within American Christianity, since not all religious leaders accepted the equation of Christianity with laissez-faire capitalism. Cruz's narrative shows how particular voices were amplified until they seemed representative of the whole. The lasting impact is a template for modern political religion. Religious legitimacy can be cultivated through strategic relationships, and economic priorities can be wrapped in religious language to broaden support and reduce skepticism. Thirdly, Cold War anxiety turned religion into a civic weapon against communism. Cruz treats Cold War anti-communism as a major accelerant for the Christian America project. Fear of Soviet atheism and the global contest for legitimacy created ideal conditions for turning religion into a public badge of national identity. In this environment, leaders could argue that the United States stood for God, freedom, and private property, while communism represented godlessness and state control. Cruz shows how this framing helped unify disparate groups and provided a simple moral map for a complex geopolitical struggle. It also allowed domestic policy debates to be recoded as national security issues. Expanding government programs could be portrayed as a slippery slope toward collectivism, not merely a disagreement about budgets. The topic explains why religious symbolism gained traction in civic ceremonies and why public expressions of faith were promoted as markers of loyalty. By linking piety with patriotism, advocates made dissent appear suspicious and made a particular political economy feel like the natural expression of American character. This helps readers understand how international conflict can reshape domestic culture, especially when fear makes symbolic unity more persuasive than nuanced debate. Fourthly, how public rituals and national symbols were re-engineered. A fourth topic is the embedding of religious language into public rituals and national symbols. Cruz examines how practices that many people assume are timeless were, in fact, strengthened or introduced in specific historical moments. The book connects campaigns for religious references in civic life to the broader project of presenting the nation as inherently Christian and therefore inherently aligned with a pro-business vision of freedom. This topic is less about theology and more about cultural infrastructure. Mottos, pledges, presidential prayer moments, and other public performances can shape what citizens believe is normal and traditional. Cruz shows how repetition turns political choices into cultural common sense. Once religious phrases are woven into everyday civic acts, they can feel above politics, even if they emerged from political struggle. The significance is that symbolic politics can outlast the coalitions that created it. Readers are encouraged to see national identity as something that is continuously constructed through institutions, media, and habit. The topic also raises questions about inclusion, because defining the nation in religious terms can marginalize those who do not share the majority faith or who prefer a more secular public square. Lastly, from mid-century campaigns to modern culture war narratives, Cruz links mid-century efforts to promote Christian nationalism to later political developments, showing how a campaign originally shaped by corporate and anti-New Deal priorities influenced broader conservative identity over time. The book traces how the language of faith, freedom, and markets became a durable narrative that could be activated in elections, policy debates, and social conflicts. Even as the original corporate messaging evolved, the underlying fusion of religiosity with a specific vision of America persisted. This topic helps explain why contemporary arguments about religion and public life often carry assumptions about capitalism, government size, and personal morality all at once. Cruz's account suggests that what appears to be a purely religious dispute may also be the legacy of older economic conflicts. The takeaway is that culture war narratives are not only spontaneous expressions of belief. They can be structured by institutions, funding streams, and strategic messaging choices that hardened into identity. By following this thread from the mid-century era forward, readers can better recognize how historical framing devices continue to shape political instincts, voting behavior, and public expectations about what America is supposed to represent. In conclusion, this book is best for readers interested in American political history, the history of religion and public life, Cold War culture, and the roots of modern conservative ideology. It will also appeal to anyone trying to understand why faith language appears so frequently in civic rituals and partisan debate, even in arguments that seem primarily economic. The main benefit is clarity. Cruz offers a framework for seeing public religiosity not only as personal devotion, but also as a product of organized persuasion and institutional power. That perspective can improve media literacy, helping readers spot when moral language is being used to advance a policy agenda or to make certain economic assumptions feel natural and inevitable. Compared with similar books that focus mainly on theological movements or electoral strategy, Cruz highlights the corporate and marketing dimensions that are often overlooked. The emphasis on how symbols, ceremonies, and alliances were built makes the story concrete and memorable, not just abstract theory. For readers who want a historically grounded explanation of Christian nationalism and its relationship to capitalism, this book is worth buying because it connects cultural change to specific actors, incentives, and campaigns that still echo in American life. If you would like to support Kevin M. Cruz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.